Welcome to another edition of the Throwback Podcast. This is your host, Ryan the Pot Man.
And me, baby, Jimmy the Radio Man, daddy.
We are glad you all could join us today because today's episode should be a fun one because today our special guest is from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle series. We have April O'Neil herself, Renee Jacobs, on the program.
Let me tell you something here, daddy. Ever since I was a little bitty, Jimmy, I have the hugest crush on April O'Neil. Plus, the Ninja Turtles were my homies, man. Well, then in that Rat King, he had some major swag, daddy. He reminds me of my uncle from Missouri, daddy.
You can say that again, Jimmy. I think we all felt that way if you grew up in that era. Well, minus the Rat King having a weird swag like your uncle part, but that's whatever. Hey, what's up with the box?
Oh, I was excited for this episode. I went up to my old attic and found my old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action collection series.
Oh, really? That's cool. Let's check it out.
Look at this limited edition Casey Jones figure.
Hey, Jimmy, he's missing an arm.
No, he's not. The look on his face seems like he's completely fine with it, daddy. Oh, look at this top-of-the-line techno drone action set with all figures. Look, I got Shredder, Rocksteady, oh, Bebop, oh, and Crane.
Wait, what the hell happened to Crane's face?
Oh, you want to hear a funny story, daddy? My little sister threw it down the toilet one time and flushed him because she thought he was the creative cooties, daddy. It took the plumber 6 hours to get him out of there. He was never the same after that.
Wow, that's quite the story. Hey, I don't see any of the Ninja Turtles in here, though.
Oh, I got them in this other box. I'll show you after the interview.
I'm not sure what to expect from that, but anyways, folks, you know how this works by now. If you like what you hear, please check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio for more exclusive interviews. We hope you enjoy this episode with Renee Jacobs, a.k.a. the original April O'Neil from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is the original April O'Neil from Brewster. April O'Neil and the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I am pleased to welcome them, Renee Jacobs. Renee, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for coming on the show. Good. I just want to ask you first, what were some of your favorite superheroes or cartoons growing up before you got into Ninja Turtles?
I was very much into all the Disney animated movies, to be fair. But I think some of my favorite cartoons that were on television were from Hanna-Barbera, the Big Bang Theory, the character of Mutley was one of my favorite characters. Of all the cartoons, now blank, like was fabulous.
Yeah.
And really, there were a number of them. Quite not a ton, it's hard to remember, but they were great cartoons. And I realized that none of them were to promote turtles. Really, turtles and the era that I modern animation is really the era of the toy pushing the cartoon and the cartoon pushing the toy.
I actually agree with that. I think you guys and Ghostbusters were the main two that really brought that to the forefront.
Scooby Doo. Special and we've all been doing in our nation, but we've never been in a situation where there's so much humor and the guys have freedom to kind of play off of each other and be vulnerable. And really, something different than anybody that's been offended by.
So before you started with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, were you familiar with any of the comic books and stuff prior to that?
No, not at all. No, the only comics that I read when I was a kid were Peanut and Garfield and Peanut. They had huge collections of Peanuts. They were wonderful, and you know, I found them getting less lessons and I love that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really in the comic book.
Yeah, Charlie Dunn was a classic book, but it was just a popular among some people today. How did you first approach for being on Ninja Turtles? Like, how did I audition process and everything?
Well, I'm very typical to all the audition processes that we went through back then. Things are different now, but when this was all the animation started, at different animation houses in Los Angeles, they would call us, or well, I just would call and say, okay, we need to do a theme for Hanna-Barbera, Disney, or this studio or that studio. Certain companies would rent out recording studios, and then, person after person would show up and see your friends in the area where you were waiting to be called. We had a time. And then the director and the producers would be in the booth, and they would give you a dialogue, and they'd give you some sketches, some just black and white pencil sketches of the character, give them kind of some personality traits, and off you go. You go into the booth, you record, the director might say, try this one, try that one, and then you go. And if you were lucky, you would back from your agency and book the job.
Oh wow! So when you first auditioned, did you cast any other voices on the show or any other shows before April?
Okay, just how many female characters were on this
show? There's Derma. Maybe you could have been Derma.
Erna did not come onto the scene until later. She was not part of the initial.
When did she show up? I can't remember when she first showed up. Was it like
no idea. We've been 10 years of recording. I have a wonderful fan, but I just forgot. I just wanted to ask you questions like, I'm 3, episode 12, you know, why 220? You were subject. What did you mean by that? Like, what? We just don't follow it the way, you know, fans follow it. We went in, we had a wonderful time, we enjoyed the trip, we enjoyed each other, and then we went home. And most of us didn't watch the show, we watched the first try, you know. And then after that, we had most of us were married, most of some of us had kids. We work it.
That's true, yeah. So, when you say the first half, you mean like the first half episodes?
We watched the first five episodes. Most of them. Yeah, we wanted to see what we had about. I would probably watch, the first season. And after that, we just recorded them.
Oh, I guess since you're already doing episodes anyway, so you kind of already have an idea what's going on.
We knew
what was going on. Yeah, that's true. That was the very first day recording the show. Do you have any recollections of how that was?
Well, first of all, we actually didn't really know each other that well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guys have worked together before. I think that Chandler had worked with, I don't know if it was Red or if it was Pam on Travel Rock. And Pam and Chandler had met each other on a game show. They were, I don't remember the name of the game show, but they were contestants, and they became friends from that. But once you didn't know each other, at least didn't know each other that well.
Right.
And what's your name was script, and the producer didn't know who was going to play what script. Well, no, I wasn't going to be in the script. Okay, that was a done deal.
Yes.
But the guys were kind of feeling their way around who would be what. And everything knew that Rob was going to be back on all of Jerry and Spotify, but they didn't know about who would play Michael and Charles and Jimmy Leonardo. So, well, we rehearsed a little bit, tried a little bit, and the director said, okay, we're going to rehearse that. You do Michelangelo, Cam, you do Leonardo, and then we'll switch it up. Never got the coach.
Never got the
coach. And one of us was Jake Mabry. Pat Tranley also, people know Pat Tranley, but he was fighting his way through the story. And then came in the beginning of being stopped from us.
Oh, really?
So we were under direct orders. Nobody could know of the actual call when we were recording the question. It got to be, I don't know, we didn't even realize it, but I think it could have been dangerous. Interesting.
Yeah, you never know what people think down, so,
I realized how popular the children's site one day, or at the park with my daughter, she's in a stroller, and every kid had something Ninja Turtle for. A sock, shoes, or a t-shirt, or a hat. And it was small part of it. Now, I realized that had it been my face instead of my voice, I wouldn't have been able to go out in public. And that popped up.
Yeah. How long did it take to record an episode, typically?
Mm-hmm. Well, we would get there at 9 o'clock, and she would go to bed and have a coffee, and then we would rehearse. And then it would take about an hour and a half, because we'd have more jokes that don't necessarily that way. The guys might add one, and that might get entered into the character, and they might say, no, it's not fit. And then, of course, and I don't know his name, it's just left Metal. He played Leatherhead the voice of the tune.
So he did wait, the guy, the person who did Leatherhead also did Winnie the Pooh voice?
Yes.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yes. Oh my God, I just saw him at a Comic Con too. I can't believe that. You know what? You get, you know, listening, people will be listening to his podcast, they'll be like,
what? I'm sure they'll tweet it out. I'm sure they'll tweet it out and let us know.
I'm gonna forget Jim Cummings.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. So talented. So kind. And we're lucky we have some great guests on the show. So those episodes are really
good. Are there any episodes or scenes or anything that you didn't really care for or you thought were kind of lame looking back on that you might have, like,
No.
You enjoyed all of it?
I appreciate every scene and every line and every show I was in.
That's good, yeah. That's good when you look at it.
She wasn't made to do anything weird. You know, she was the children. She got kidnapped from that. She reported. You know, there wasn't anything that, uncomfortable with, like,
right.
Straight forward character.
Yeah,
and I would, if they had done something of this character, like, I would have said something. Because I feel very protective of this character. You know, people end up with maybe very unusual things to me about things on the internet, and, you know, it's not appropriate. You know, April was mean.
Right.
I'm April. So, you know, I'm very protective of her.
Yeah. You were April before anyone else was.
Yeah.
You're the original April. You're the real April.
I am April.
The original OG April.
Old girl, yeah.
OG. Some people may not know this either, but James Avery, who played Uncle Phil on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, was also the voice of Shredder on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I think is pretty cool. It's actually kind of interesting because this has to be like probably a time period for a year or two where he was pulling double duty as Shredder and Uncle Phil. How was it like working for James Avery?
James Avery?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've told the story before that James giant of a man. And he first looked at him and not getting a little intimidating. And of course he was Shredder was about that.
Yeah.
But he had a mask that could shake a room. He was absolutely a gentleman and a scholar. He was a great man. He used to come to my comedy studio and help us.
Really?
And we're
shaking.
And he would pick me up, and he would be scared. I mean, I'd be like 3 feet off the ground, and my feet were, you know, dangling. And just kind, down to earth, he was a very educated man. He was trained. He was on the forefront of, you know, the civil rights movement, and I know that he became the father of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to many of the cast members.
Yes.
I don't think that Will Smith's father was in the picture for a long time
for his
kid, and I know that Gene took that role very seriously.
Back to Ninja Turtles, do you have a favorite villain from the show? Like, person you?
Dylan.
Yeah.
You ever ask me that? They always say, "Who do you think you're doing?" Nobody ever asked me who my favorite villain. Well, it would have to be me.
I couldn't have a miracle.
these beautiful characters who played a role in teaching lessons and being loyal and sharing a true friendship and getting people through tough times.
Right, yeah, that's true.
No, I never had
to go back to that. I remember that. That's a good way to look at it, though. During the, I was going to ask you, during the original adventure that Ninja Turtle was doing, there was so much stuff that I haven't talked about earlier, like video games, toys, t-shirts, VHS tapes. Did you guys ever get any money or residuals from any of that stuff, any of that kickbacks?
No, never. No, I think Burger King will be just wherever media you can go and too much is local for Facebook.
Oh, yeah, how you making those?
Yes, well, that individual actually what they need to go to Facebook to get them.
Wow.
That was that work.
You guys brought those characters to life.
Okay.
So you guys brought those characters to life.
That's right. But, you know, we didn't have any sort of toys. No, even voices.
Yeah.
But, I mean, our voice control viewers, we were entitled to be paid for that. And we didn't have anything to come to help them.
Yeah. Somebody that doesn't sound right.
The other thing they did, which was interesting, at least to me, is at one point, Turtle Festival, they wanted everybody to record at the same time. And they were panicked when they were conflict. And they basically threatened that and said, you can be a priority, and if you can't make these recording sessions, you can be your friend. There was no reason to do that. It would have been very easy to catch up, you know. Everybody tried to do that. You know, it was fun to be there, and we knew the show was better for us. But if you had some kind of commitment to some other project, or even a project you wanted you to do, and then later the schedule, a Brad had a commitment to go to Las Vegas to do some kind of a charity event, as promoting the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided that they were going to record, and Brad had a deal that he had to be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they advertised me. What do you think? Weren't you going to pull out of there? You made him look terrible. And you would have felt wrong.
Yeah.
So, that was the beginning of them trying to catch up. Because he went to do a show that they wanted me to do, and then not even back on it.
Yes, that's messed up.
Yeah, that's
really messed up. That's their cool house.
There
were also, like, we were talking earlier, there was, like, around the early 90s, there were, like, three live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies that came out.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like those compared to the series you guys were doing? But, I think, yeah, go ahead.
I know that there are fans out there that prefer the movies. There are fans out there that prefer the 90s show or the Nickelodeon show. And all of them lead back to our show. So I'm grateful that each generation has something that they can remember. My personal opinion was I didn't love the movie. I didn't think that the voices were distinct anymore. I couldn't tell the difference between one show and another.
Yeah.
They all sounded like Michelangelo. I love the look. The look is great. But I'm very partial to our show. For years, every time we get into the studio every season, we get, this year we're going Gaffer. We're going to do this Gaffer. We've got to play straight. We've got to pick our tricks. And it's very menacing the way they present that information. So
yeah.
We start out a few episodes, I think it's just being Gaffer. Episode, we get back into who we were. And I think it's who we were and what we brought to the table that made it so accessible. What was the purpose of making it dark?
Yeah. I think it's really based off how the original comics were, because the original comics were dark and gritty. I think that's what we're doing with the movies, and that's probably what I'm trying to do with you guys, try to probably base it more off the comics. But like,
well, you're following the wrong criteria, right? You know, it's for children.
Yeah.
You know, we had no idea. I mean, we had so much fun doing it, and there were all kinds of little hidden inside jokes that adults would have gotten. But, you know, this is for kids.
Yes, yeah.
The focus is making it dark. No, I don't know.
Yeah, if they wanted to make it more dark, they should have just moved the time slot of it. But,
yeah.
That's what they should have done. But, you know, for me, I enjoy, I enjoy both the movie and the animated series. Like, I like the movie for its grittiness, and, like, it had, like, a little more realistic vibe to it just because of how it was presented. But, the original animated series, it's like you were saying, everything leads back to that. Like, that's the original, and that's what, like, one everyone universally like loves. Like, I like both of them equally, but like, you know, like at the end of the day, everything leads back to the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like,
exactly, and I'm so lucky. We are so lucky. And now we get to do Comic Cons and fans. It's great.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite line that you said? Like, out of all the years you've been on Ninja shows, do you have, like, a favorite line or phrase April might have said that you enjoyed saying? Or did April even, should April have a catchphrase? Okay. I can say your catchphrase.
There are two.
Yeah.
April was always being carted off by Dubaka and some of the Foot Clan or somebody.
Yeah.
And then, of course, her, you know, kind of sign off line. So
yeah.
It would be, put me down, you bitch.
Well,
those are the two lines that usually were spoken, at least, and then, you know, certainly the sign-off of every episode. But the put me down in big eight seems to be a running joke throughout the entire 10 years.
Did anyone ever recognize your voice? Out in public that may not be familiar, like be keeping up with what you're doing today. Like, have you ever been out in public or someone recognizes you?
No.
That is?
You know, not really. You know, the kids related to the show through the animation. I mean, I have a funny story that Cam Clark tells, but he was in a Christie, which is like a drugstore, and they have an ice cream bar. So he was standing there waiting to get an ice cream cookie from the guy, and the little kid got on Leonardo shoes, Leonardo shorts, Leonardo t-shirt, Leonardo hat. Leonardo. So he says to the parents, you see your son, what's your son's name? Is Jimmy. Jimmy looks like the really like the character. That is, oh my God, Leonardo. He goes, I do the voice of Leonardo on the show, and he thinks he's like, oh my God, he goes, his mom, Jimmy. So he kind of bends down and he says, hi, Jimmy, I'm Leonardo. Yeah, and I'm Michael as well. You can relate to real people doing the voice. So no one's ever said, your voice is so familiar. But I don't usually, you know, talk to my
voice. Yeah,
so much energy. And April was always hey, guys. No, I don't usually talk that.
Yeah.
Even though she was basically my voice, but with, you know, more energy.
Right. That's true. I think we already touched on this already, but like the different other animated series over the past few years have come out of Ninja Turtles. I noticed a few of them, they changed the concept a little bit of the original, like April's characters, I think the latest one that came out, I think she's like a teenager or something.
They
changed the personality of the Ninja Turtles around.
Like,
and everything.
I was wondering, how do you feel about it?
Well, I'm always partial to my show.
Yeah.
like I said, each time they redid the Nintendo, it brought the fans back to the original. And then, you know, they started coming out with the videos, and that now there's DVD, there's a box set with a channel there, which is so cool. And now people are sharing their childhood of Ninja Turtles with their children, with their own children. And so, I'm thrilled. And you'll see fans who prefer the animated show, some prefer the movie, some prefer the Nickelodeon. I respect them all.
Yeah.
I appreciate them all. And, you know, I played April O'Neil's mother on the Nickelodeon version, which was really fun. I was glad to go back and do that.
Right.
You know, keep going, Turtles. In fact, Rob Paul is directing this next thing for Ninja Turtles shows.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure when they're coming out, but there's another animated show coming. I don't know what it's going on.
I have to say something. They're making so many spin-offs and recreations of the Ninja Turtles of House of Tessa that were the ones. That says something that they're keep making all these versions of Ninja Turtles.
And people love them. So there is a magic. There's something, some magic fairy dust there that, I don't know what it is, but it's magic.
It just shows how successful the original was when Keith Sony's remake.
Yeah. It's a compliment.
The past, a couple years, it came out with like two newer movies. Of like newer versions of Ninja Turtles, and I honestly have never checked out any of them because I never liked how the turtles looked in the trailers, so I never even wanted to go see those. But
and I'm sure somebody did.
Yeah, and I'm sure they loved it. That person wasn't me. Ninja Turtles actually had a pretty long run. It ran all the way up until, I believe, was it 96? He got stayed on the air, the original series.
It was nine years.
Yeah.
So, between the four guys, I think it would have been completely different. I mean, how they related to her. We're related to April as a sister.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have worked.
Yeah. That's interesting, though. What is?
No, why don't you connect with her?
Oh, hey. No, there's too many destructible agreements over this. Oh, no. Power Rangers is just as crazy too with the remake. So I just feel how popular both of you guys were.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, how do you like doing the Comic Con? Like going to the Comic Con and meeting all these fans?
That's a good question. There's fun. Not a fan. I get to meet some wonderful people who inspire me. I know that children's got a lot of people who have a lot of children. All of them grew up in the fairy tale world with the perfect home and the perfect family. And having a little bit of escape into the world of the children and adopt them as their friends. During that good time, I think that people see a lot of bad stuff out there.
Yeah.
And hear about that. And my heart just goes out to them. And, you know, you see, they've grown up, they've got married, they're too grown, they're sharing children with them, they do that. And that's amazing. There's some weird stuff that goes on too. You know, there are those people who seem to, April's kind of some people's first girlfriend. So there's some interesting stuff out there, you know, and some people think it's a really great idea to come up and ask me my opinion on it. And honestly, it's not comfortable talking to them, you know, like, okay, go away.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen very often, you know.
But every once in a while, you get that type of person that comes up for that.
Yeah.
I think everyone does in that line of work.
Yeah.
It happens, yeah.
And I don't usually talk about it, but it's happened a few times now. So I'm like, don't do that, okay?
Yeah.
It's great. And I love doing the panels and asking questions. And I love meeting the fans, you know, watching people come up to me and looking at me talk, and they're so excited that somebody is so deep in the channel.
Yeah.
You know, it's
pretty cool experience.
Very joyful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool experience interviewing you.
Yeah. And then sometimes I get to do them with the guys. Sometimes I'm on my own, and when we're all together, it's just like that.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, before we wrap this up, do you have any final words for the Ninja Turtle fans out there listening to this?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, I want to thank you all. I want to thank the fans who've been so wonderful and so kind and so appreciative of the work that we've done. I cannot really laugh at that somebody who does a virtual cartoon for us. But the appreciation towards how much they have in the first time we did. And I want to encourage them to pass this show down to their children and from their grandchildren, because they're this is about honesty, honor, being hero, doing the right thing, commandments, and those lessons are so important speech and pass on create meaningful lives and you have to hang on to the goodness in the world. And I think Ninja Turtles had a lot of goodness in the world.
They did. They really, they made a really good impact for a lot of kids being through the thing that window. Yeah, I thought one of the first real that's how like children show that I was a kid, right? That's how like, I learned like first real show that I started watching. So yeah, they had a very big impact on a lot of kids my age around that time period, and still the ways that the people that are discovering it now.
Yeah, It's great. We'll pass it on, baby.
We will. But yeah, Renee, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks. Been enjoying chatting with you. All the best. Let's right. come out on three. You follow from Channel Power, okay?
All right. That's good.
All right. One, two, three.
Channel Power!
I would personally like to thank Renee Jacobs for coming on the show. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is one of the greatest action hero characters ever created. There have been so many recreations and reboots of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it shows how successful and powerful the original series was and still is. I really enjoyed talking to Renee about her time on the show.
Let me tell you something, Daddy. You hit that nail right on the head with that one. The original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a legendary show, baby.
Did you have a favorite Ninja Turtle, Jimmy? I always loved Michelangelo as a kid. As an adult, I seem to lean more towards Raphael, but you have to appreciate all of them. Leonardo was the leader, and none of them could actually function or operate if it wasn't for Donatello. He did everything for them.
Oh, I agree, Daddy. And the answer to my favorite is right here in this box, Daddy.
All right, let's see what Ninja Turtles you have here.
Check it out.
Wow. You literally have all of them. The entire line. And they look in great condition. You really could make some money. Wait, well, what's this one? This one isn't a Ninja Turtle.
Oh, yeah, it is, Daddy.
What is it? Whoa. It looks like you took the head off a Leonardo action figure and glued on the head of a Shaquille O'Neal NBA action figure.
Oh, I like you to be Shaq Angelo, Daddy.
Oh, boy. No. I thought nothing could be worse than Shaq food. You're kidding me with this, right? Anyway, folks, we hope you enjoyed this episode of The Throwback, because if you did, you will love our next episode. Our special guest will be the original Zordon from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, David Fielding. And remember to always drop us a shout-out on Twitter at Throw Podcast and on Instagram at Throwback_Podcast, as well as checking us out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio for more exclusive interviews. Until next time.
Watch out! Shaq Angelo driving to the rim on Shredder, Daddy!
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.